This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you want to win tickets to the Eastern Michigan-Michigan State game, give us a call at 353-5000. That's area code 517-353-5000 and register for your chance to win tickets to the Eastern Michigan football game. So give us a call right now, and you can be in the pool and be in, as we'll give two very good tickets away for you at the end of Thursday's show. So call us up and do that right now. We're taking all the callers, and we know Eastern Michigan, let's face it, they're not that good. They're 0-3 so far, and they're, you know, Michigan State, this is a game Michigan State should win, and basically what we'd be looking for in this game is how well Michigan State has improved from the Notre Dame game. We'll have to see some things, how good they play, how good they improve. Now, you know, maybe we won't be able to tell how good they improve, but I think some of the things we'll be looking for, can the receivers catch the ball? Can the receivers hold on to the football? That's a prime question. And another thing that we need to look for, even against Eastern Michigan, is does the defensive line get some penetration up the middle? Right now, it really looks like Jarrell Worthy is sorely missed. He got a lot of penetration. You know, even if he didn't get to the player or get a sack or anything, he got a lot of penetration, but a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Let's see if they can do that against Eastern Michigan. Now we're going to have to see some improvement before the game, because after that, the next week, they open up against Ohio State. So that's going to be a toughie, obviously. Remember, when you're watching the game, the Eastern Michigan game, that you're looking for improvement from Michigan State, looking for improvement in the passing game. And Andrew Maxwell, he's looking to improve. He's probably got a little bit more touch on the ball. Most of the time, most balls, he rifles them in. But they are right on the money. I mean, he's very accurate in what he's been doing, that's for sure. But maybe he gets a little bit more of a touch to it. So we'll have to look for that. So there's a few other things that you have to look out for in the next home game. But give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We'll talk with George Blaha later on in the program and talk with him. We'll also talk with head coach Kathy George from the MSU volleyball team. They're 12-0 right now as they get ready to start the Big Ten portion of the season. So I have to ask Kathy, how good is this volleyball team this year? 12-0, and what more do they need to improve on to get better for Big Ten play, which starts up this week? Big Ten, in case you didn't know, Big Ten volleyball is one of the toughest conferences it is the toughest conference in the nation. They play very good volleyball in our area in the Midwest. So just look for how this volleyball team does. Nebraska is one of the best in the nation. I think let me see if I'm looking for their rankings. Yes, they're number 3 in the nation, so that's pretty good. UCLA is 1, USC is 2, Nebraska, Penn State is 3 and 4. So that's the top 10. Michigan State is 25 right now, so that's it. That's a big improvement for them, and we'll just have to wait and see how they go and how they do in Big Ten volleyball. Right now, let's go to the phones. We got a caller on the line. Hello, you're on the air with us.
Well, good afternoon. I hope your weekend was a good one.
Yeah, not too bad.
Michigan State, I don't think you're really going to know that much about where they're sitting until the Big Ten competition starts.
Well, when we see that first game against Ohio State, that's going to be a biggie. We're just looking for some elements of improvement against Eastern Michigan. I don't think you'll be able to tell that much.
I don't think you'll be able to tell that much because of the I went to school at Western, so I like the MAC. Mm-hmm. You know, and then there are some good teams in that conference, but
yep.
Until they start playing with more of their equals, that's why I'm saying because they should. I don't even know how many more games they have to play before the Big Ten starts. What, one or two
more? Just one more.
Just one more.
Yep.
But I was very disappointed in their performance against Notre Dame. I thought it would be a lot better game than that.
Oh, yeah. I think we all were. Everybody was Michigan State fans were very surprised that they played so poorly against Notre Dame.
As far as the Tigers, they're done.
Yeah, it looks like it.
They needed to win. They needed to win to get that last game in Cleveland, and they also needed to win that makeup game against Chicago. I know there's like what 16 games left, and they got 10 at home. But still, I think that loss against Chicago yesterday was like almost the closing of the coffin.
Yeah, because they're behind three games with 16 games left, and that's going to be hard to make up those three games. Chicago has to just basically fall flat, and I don't know if they're going to fall flat.
They've been good all year. Games, but Detroit, you know, I'm not very good at math, but I don't even know what Detroit would have to. They would have to, but they've got 16 left. They'd have to win at least, I'm guessing, 13 out of those 16 to even have a chance.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say it probably is about that many.
That's just a guess. I could be off. If anybody knows any different, you know, I'll be listening.
Okay.
Always a pleasure talking to you.
Okay, talk to you later, Vic.
You have a wonderful day, and may God richly bless you and everybody else in the audience.
Hey, thanks a lot, Victor. Hey, bye-bye. And that's Victor from Lions. Always good talking with, hearing from Victor. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And, of course, spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR. And that's what we're looking for you to spread the word around. Tell everybody you can enjoy sports every day right here on WKAR, and listen to us, and we'll do whatever we can for you right here on AM 870 WKAR, East Lansing. 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And remember, if you want a chance to win tickets to Michigan State EMU football, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000 to register for your chance to win tickets to MSU EMU football. That's coming up on Saturday. Once again, 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517. So we'll look at the volleyball team, and we're looking at the Michigan State football team. I think you can tell a little bit. I don't think you'll be able to tell a lot, but you should be able to tell a little bit. You know, we can see if the receivers hold on to the ball. They had at least seven drops in the first game, and that's what Coach D'Antonio was telling us at the press conference today. They had at least seven drops, and, you know, so we got to see, can they hold on to the ball? That's the big factor for them. Running the route rights, they seem to be doing a fairly good job running the route rights, running the right routes. So can they hold on to the ball? If they do that, then I think we'd say the offense is improved. But we've got to see them hold on to the ball first. So we'll be looking for that and seeing if they can get a pass rush, some kind that put some pressure on the quarterback. They haven't gotten any sacks, just one sack so far. So they haven't been good at putting pressure on the QB. That was supposed to be one of the strengths of the team. So we got to see, can they put more pressure on the QB, getting to the Eastern Michigan QB? It doesn't mean it'll carry over to the next game. It'll just mean that it'll look good in this game coming up. So we'll just have to see how they look against Eastern Michigan. Maybe they can do some good things that will say, oh, this team has got it together. This team has bounced back. This team is really strong. But we won't know that till after the Eastern Michigan game. And so, you know, that's something we'll all be looking forward to. And when we talk with George Blaha, we'll get George's take on the Michigan State Eastern Michigan game and on the Michigan State team. What does he feel the team needs to do? What areas they need to improve in? We'll talk with George Blaha about that. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And, of course, spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR East Lansing. And we'll also talk with our good friend Aaron Young and talk with Aaron a little bit about the upcoming game. And, Aaron, I don't know if you see – like Victor was saying, he doesn't think we'll learn very much from that Eastern Michigan game. Do you think we can learn something about the team, even though Eastern Michigan is 0-3?
Well, I mean, you can always learn something from every game, but, you know, honestly, in a short answer, no. Frankly, I think Eastern Michigan is just going to be outmatched in pretty much all phases of the game. But like I said yesterday, I think there's little things the team can work on that you might not see it from a fan standpoint. It's really the things that the coaches and players are going to see once they go back and look at the film. I don't think I don't think you or I sitting from the press box or whoever sitting at home on the couch is going to notice those kind of things, because the score, for all we know, could, you know, we're assuming that Michigan State's going to win this pretty easily, but you never know. But Michigan State's probably going to put up 40 some points or something, and from sitting from the couch, you're going to be like, okay, that was pretty easy. Can't really get anything out of it. But again, I think it's when the players and coaches go back and look at the film, they're going to be looking for specific things that we may not notice, whether it was, did you run your route right? Did you do your cuts right? Did you catch the ball this time? Some of the blocking schemes, those kind of things that, the average fan just doesn't see on the field. That's what I think that we can get out of it, the players and coaches. As far as fans are concerned, frankly, I don't think we're going to get anything out of it. We're not going to say, oh, great, now they're the team that we expected. No, we'll see when they play Ohio State, which Ohio State's pretty good this year. So we'll see it then, I think.
Yeah, that'll be a big test against Ohio State for sure, the first Big Ten game team of the year. I guess we can learn a little bit because Eastern Michigan played Purdue last week. So you can sort of look at that, get a gauge of Eastern Michigan. They got off to a good start against Purdue, and then they struggled for the other three quarters. So we can look at Eastern Michigan and see, well, maybe if they can improve on that, if they can play better. Can Michigan State, Purdue has a lot of speed. That's a very fast team, a team with a ton of speed. So how does Michigan State match up with Eastern? I'm not sure if they're as fast as Eastern as Purdue is. Purdue's really fast. I'm not sure if they have that kind of speed. So it'll be interesting to take a look at to see where Michigan State is at. And when you look at Purdue, Purdue's in the Legend Division. They're looking to win that side. So it's interesting to see. So that's what we're looking at, and hopefully Michigan State, I don't think – they lost to a good team in Notre Dame. I've always said that. They've lost to a very good team in Notre Dame, and now if they, we know they can't lose to Eastern Michigan. But does this to curtail that, can they win against the good teams? Can they – or will they struggle against the good teams like Ohio State? Or will they just get beat, basically? So we'll look at that game when that comes up. The time right now is 19 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
In California, anyone arrested on a felony charge can be swabbed with a Q-tip and see their DNA added to a growing genetic database. No warrant needed. The FBI is reportedly working on a facial recognition system to help police ID suspects. I'm Neil Conan, Technology, Law Enforcement, and Civil Liberties, Tracking Criminals. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. Here's the weather forecast for the next few days. Mostly cloudy today with scattered rain showers. We're expecting a high around 62. Tonight, partly cloudy with lows in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny skies on Wednesday with highs in the mid-60s. And for Thursday, partly sunny with a chance of rain showers and highs in the mid-60s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons, call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870. But more importantly, we need you to spread the word around, tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR East Lansing. So it's always nice to have you with us, nice to talk with you from time to time. Just give us a call if you have a question or a thought on any sports, whether you want to talk about the Tigers, the Lions, You know, Michigan State, Michigan, there's a lot to talk about in the sports world. So just give us a call and you can express your opinions on any of them. Right now, that's it. Give us a call on Michigan State or Michigan or the Detroit Lions, which lost, of course, that toughie over San Francisco over the weekend. So we can talk about them. We can talk about the Tigers, who are slowly but surely starting to fade from the making. You know, it just looks like they're going to fade out of the playoffs. What can I say? I've been holding for the longest that I believe that they would win that division. But now, boy, it's really going to be tough. I mean, San Francisco is just going to have to go in a big, the Tigers are going to have to go into a big slump. Well, right now, let's change the subject and talk a little bit of volleyball with the head coach of Michigan State's volleyball team, Kathy George. Kathy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Earl?
Okay, doing good. And you're off to a great start, 12-0. That's got to be very impressive. But going into the Big Ten season, how does that prepare you, or will you have to learn more things going into the Big Ten season?
Well, I can tell you, you know, you really get in a situation where you've played your pre-conference, and now you know you're into playing a schedule that will feature teams that are in the top 10, top 20 in the country nightly. And so we will have a challenge, and it's the back-to-back nature of the strength of competition and just playing some of the best players in the country.
Yes, guys, because, I mean, you start out with Purdue and Indiana, two of the best. I said earlier, you know, no doubt the Big Ten is the toughest conference for volleyball in the nation. You know, you meet incredible competition each and every night. Whenever you have to suit up against another team, you're going to get a very good team.
I know, and it's really kind of exciting because your team gets ready. They love playing great teams, and so. But then again, it gets, you know, back to back, night in and night out. It can get wearing on you. So it's really important for us to keep fresh and to keep it all, you know, one game at a time, and just to go from one thing to the next. And like really after a Friday night match, we have to turn around and get ready for our team on that Saturday. So it's turning your focus. So if you win, you know, and you're happy, that's great. You want to be excited about it for a little bit, but you've got to turn around and get ready. And if you lose, you can't dwell on it. You've got to turn around and get ready. So it doesn't matter. You've got to challenge either way.
Yes, and looking at all your preseason games, you've posted a lot of shutouts in these games. How good is this team defensively?
You know, I think that's the difference. I think in the past we've been a great offensive team. We've blocked well, but we weren't maybe as good in the back line. And right now our defense has improved greatly, and that's really keeping us in games. Teams can't score as easily, and it's headed up by an unbelievable player in Corey Moster, who is arguably one of the best libros in the country.
Yeah. Yes. Now I'm looking at all the players you have. You only have one player from Illinois and one from Iowa, and your reserves. Another player from Illinois and Ottawa. How good is the volleyball in the state of Michigan?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of great players there, and we've made a commitment to looking through the state of Michigan before we go elsewhere for our players. And you know, I think that Michigan is getting stronger and stronger nationally each year. You know, you look at some of the hotbeds in the Midwest. I guess Illinois has always been very strong, and California has been very strong. But you're finding more and more pockets that are gaining strength as the years go on. Michigan is definitely improving, but they've always had great athletes.
Okay. What about the Big Ten this year? Haven't asked you yet, but how good is the Big Ten this year, and what teams do you see as the strongest teams in the conference?
Well, you know, Nebraska last week was rated number one in the country. They actually lost their first game of the season, and so they moved to third. But Purdue this weekend that we're playing started off this year rated seventh in the country. And they've slipped a little bit. But, you know, you have, let's see, I think there's seven teams in the top 25 in the nation. And so that just gives you an idea out of over 320 schools playing, with seven of those teams in the top 25 and the other five receiving votes, which makes them in the top 35. It's kind of crazy.
Yes, and you're pretty much a veteran team, aren't you? You're not playing a lot of the freshmen, are you? You're playing some of them.
You know what's weird about that, Earl, is, I mean, we graduated five starters.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, you know, there's six girls on the court, of which, you know, five starters graduated. So we're really new. I think a lot of people wondered, you know, how good will we be? What is Michigan State going to look like? They had no idea that we could come back and be strong. You know, and our team, I think, has rallied to that. last December after all of our, you know, we've met with the seniors and then they said their goodbyes. And we talked about what is this team going to be made up of? How are we going to define this team? You know, nobody's going to expect anything from you. And so from that day on, they've worked their tails off. This is the hardest working team we've had here. And they focus on all the details, all the little things, all the fundamentals. And that's really brought them together. Their chemistry, they've put it into each other. They've invested. And you're seeing the byproduct of that early work that started last winter.
Is that also, you could say, you know, this team has become a very good team because of all the naysayers and all the doubters who were doubting that you'd be good this year? And you're sort of, is that the cry that you're going to prove all those people wrong?
Well, you know, I think that certainly was very strong throughout the winter and the spring. And I think, you know, now, I mean, I think it's still there. But we know that we've come a distance. We know that. But that is something that will always be in the back of our heads, that we're going to prove people wrong. But you know, all in all, we're just trying to be the best volleyball team we can be. And we know that in the Big Ten, you have to look for the finer points. What are the little, you know, we're splitting hairs with how good you have to beat this team or to beat that team. And so we're looking to uncover all the little things and make sure we're as solid as possible against everybody and that we're going to stay together. If there's anything we're going to do, we're going to stay united. And we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to pull from each other's strengths in order to be the strongest team.
Yes. Now, how good do you think Northwestern is? They're 11-0 with you.
I think they're very good. I think they kind of have that same battle cry. A lot of people didn't expect Northwestern maybe to be doing as well as they are, but I did. I knew they were good. I knew they played great defense. They have a great coaching staff that has worked to strengthen each position. I think they're very, very good, and they will not be an easy team, and one that, you know, really people weren't expecting to be in the hunt, but I think they definitely will be by the end of the year. You're going to see them.
Yes, and when you look at the lower half of the Big Ten, you know, the six other schools, I'm looking at it, gee, all those teams are tough right here. I mean, yes, they've lost a couple of matches, most of them. And you know, Indiana lost four and Illinois lost four. Iowa might be the worst team in the Big Ten, 8-5.
Right.
But boy,
this, Illinois, you just talked about their record.
Yeah.
They finished second. They were in the national championship last year. So they played a tough schedule. That's kind of what you're seeing there. But they still are arguably one. I think they're in the top 20. They're somewhere in there. And they're probably at about 17 or something. They're still a very good team, and they return a lot of great players.
Yes, and just looking at your coaching staff, you've got a lot of veterans on your coaching staff. You got a lot of first-year players, but you've got a lot of veterans on your coaching staff,
absolutely,
don't you?
Absolutely. Russ Kearney and I have been together, oh boy, now I don't even know. I've lost count of the years, but we're probably somewhere like 15 years, 16. I don't know where we are, but we've been together for a long time, and Mike Golic has been here for 8 years. And then we've welcomed a new volunteer in Krista Gross and Robbie Smith, who used to be with the men's and women's basketball program and equipment and facilities and softball. He's with us as our directors of operation.
Yes, yeah, so you've got a very good staff.
Very good staff,
yes. And, you know, the team is definitely growing. I know you don't want to give away any secrets, but with the team being 12-0, where do you think you really need to improve at? Where do you say you think you need to get better?
You know, I just think that there's so many, like, little things that you look at and you say, it could be blocking the sequence. It could be, you know, it's just, like, little baby things. When you see new combinations come from different teams, making sure that you're making quick decisions and being decisive. I think those are the areas. We have each player has something they can work on, but it's not really one big thing. It's a bunch of little things. And I think that every time you play a team, they give you an opportunity to experience something new. So you're going to try to defend them, and you're teaching while you're doing it, and it just makes you better and better as you play that great competition, and you just become more resilient. But there are huge players. I mean, we'll be playing all sorts of players that will be considered for the USA national team in years to come. You know, you looked at the Olympics this weekend, and I think three of the starters were from the Big Ten, and that's what we see. We see future Olympians. We see these players that are physically dominating, and you have to figure a way to contain them all. And so what is your angle to contain them? Can you shut them down? Well, if you can't shut them down, how are you gonna slow them down? And those are decisions we have to make nightly.
Yes, because like you just said there, you know, the team, you know, they're facing a lot of little challenges. Is that better to face a lot of small challenges or one or two big challenges?
Well, you know, I like these little ones because I feel that our foundation and our fundamentals are pretty solid. And I don't know that I thought we were as solid in the fundamentals last year. And so we're not giving up as many easy points. Last year we would give away some things based on foundational skills and lack of depth in some areas. So now I think that that's cleaner and better so that we can get on, like right away we can get on during this year about splitting those hairs, getting this tweak or that tweak and trying to move on and get better.
And that's always the key because, yes, you do have to. That's the thing, one thing I've learned over the years about coaching. I know coaches always look at how can I make my team better each and every week for each and every match or game or contest. You're always looking to get better, aren't you, and get your team better.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why you love playing teams that present different offenses, different defenses, because your team now can adapt. They've seen it before. They've done it before. You know, we have you can typically play against a rotation or a perimeter defense. Well, the defenders are in different areas, and they have different areas of responsibilities. How, as an attacker, do you exploit that? And every defense has its strength. Every defense has its weakness. But are you good enough to exploit for either one? That's what we try to get at. And what, the more teams we see, the better, you know, the better we become so that we can adapt to anything.
Yes, now that's one thing I was going to ask you about. How do you feel about your team speed? Do you think you have that you're a very quick and aggressive team?
I feel that we're very, I don't know that I would say that we're overly quick. I think we're quick because we have to be. But, I mean, like we are quick above average in that area. But I think that we're just solid. We're not unbelievably flashy. But we're very solid and we're exciting to watch in that we play really tough defense and we get after the ball. And we have, you know, like Lauren Wazinski hits such a hard ball. I mean, she hits people in the chest all the time. And it's just, you know, she hits such a powerful ball. And everybody has their different things. So, like, Kelsey Kuypers is so fast and she's quick. And Alexis Matthews jumps so high. I mean, she touches 11 feet. I mean, so we have a variety of different types of athletes, and they just come together, and everybody does their part, which makes it a little tougher to defend. And yet we know, you know, there's going to be people like Nebraska. We'll play them next week, and they're huge. They're 6'5 across the board. You know, they're just big. And so that's going to be the tallest team we've faced. And you're just going to have to keep rising and using what you have to go up against the best.
How do you view your team chemistry? I know that's one of those spots, you know, sometimes you can know it's good and sometimes, I don't know if it's that good. How do you feel about your team chemistry?
I feel that it's really good. And that started last December. It was, how are we going to win? What do we need to do? We're going to need to rely on every single person doing their part, being accountable, being responsible, and investing in each other. So it doesn't – I mean, I did not bring people here to be best friends and sorority sisters or anything like that. We brought them to come in and win championships and to pull together to be the best team possible. And really, I think that when you have goals and you're working towards that, you can keep things in perspective. Is what you're doing or how you're talking to people or how you're, you know – investing in people, is that making us better or worse? So it's really important that we gave to each other and that we were accountable for our positions. And because of that, a level of trust has come through the team. And they started that, and they just continued to invest in each other and to understand that we had to ask for the order, that we had to work hard, that everybody expects us to work, you know, each other to work hard. I mean, it just kind of came around. So our chemistry is very good. Our leadership is exceptional. And that's been a real source of strength for us as we've gotten challenged already. We're expecting to see more challenges, and that will be tested.
Yes, because now with Big Ten season starting, you're going to see a lot of challenges, aren't you? In a very quick and fast, and like you say, the difference between you might see two totally different styles between Friday and Saturday, and you'll have to adapt to them. You feel that you have the team that can adapt quickly to those different styles they're going to be looking at on a weekly basis?
We're going to have to, yeah. I mean, it's all different, but I feel that they have an understanding. They grasp things very well and are able to make those changes. But again, for some of these, I mean, we have five missing starters. So this will be their first time through the Big Ten. as a team. And there are different challenges with that. And, you know, so we're counting on the fact that we do stick together to help each other through that. And I, you know, I will find out. I mean, I feel good about where they're at. I feel good at how they work together. And I think that they're knowledgeable enough about what we're doing. And I feel that all the players know what we need to do in each situation. They're very, their volleyball IQ is very high. And so they make those changes rather quickly because of their volleyball IQ.
I know I was at the one practice, as you know, it was a while back.
Right.
But I noticed then that your back end was very strong. How do you see your back end of your team? It really looked like they're a very good, solid back end.
You know, I mean, I think that we are. I think that when you look at our depth, I think from top to bottom, we're closer than we've ever been. From the top to the bottom, and you know, like different players, we've gotten everybody in this year. We've seen the depth is strong. We've been able to, you know, see some really good performances from different people all the time. And you need that because you're going to have injuries, you're going to have illnesses, you're going to have, you know, maybe somebody's getting shut down. How are you going to adapt to that? And I feel that we're pretty good there. But we're continuing to work on that as well. And I think that defensively, our team is from top to bottom better than it's ever been. And we keep the ball alive and our ball control is good.
Okay. Hey, Kathy, I want to thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, as you know, and good to see you from time to time. And I'll definitely have to get over to a meet this year. I know that.
Absolutely. We'd love to host you anytime. Just let me know and we'll set you up with some tickets.
Okie dokie.
All right. Hey, Earl, one other thing.
Yes.
This is dorm night on Friday night.
Oh, okay.
I think we're going to have huge, you know, kids get, all the students get in free. But okay. I know they're doing they're going to have different neighborhoods for dorms are going to be doing the serving contest for a chance to win prizes this weekend. So it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I expect a lot of students out this weekend.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Kathy.
Right. Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Yep.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And that's Kathy George talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. 17:37 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on WKAR. And next we'll be talking with Michigan State Spartan football voice of the Spartans, George Blaha, will join us. And we'll probably sneak in a couple of basketball questions to George. As you know, he does the play-by-play for the Detroit Pistons. So we'll get a little look. If maybe he's seen them a little bit. You know, they haven't started practice yet. But, you know, the Pistons, that season comes around so quickly. I was talking with one of the sports information directors today over at the football building, and he just talks about how everything, like this time of year, says, you know, we're just coming into the heart of football season. Not quite there yet, but the heart of it. And yet, hockey is going to be beginning very soon. And, of course, basketball will be beginning very soon. So we'll be looking at those kind of sports. And that's another challenge as all these other sports get started right here on AM 870. WKAR, we'll talk all sports with you right here. And just give us a call. Talk with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And right now, well, first off, though, let's stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
A woman was rushed to the National Institutes of Health Hospital in Maryland infected with a bacteria that couldn't be killed by most antibiotics. They took precautions to protect their other patients, but it spread anyway. I'm Neil Cohn, and the next steps in the fight against superbugs. Plus, can anyone compete with Apple's iPhone? Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Checking the mid-Michigan weather forecast over the next couple days. It'll be mostly cloudy today with scattered rain showers and a high around 62. Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the upper 30s. A mostly sunny day for Wednesday with highs in the mid-60s. And Thursday's outlook, partly sunny. There's a chance of rain showers and we'll have highs in the mid-60s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, let's bring in our very good friend, George Blaha, to talk Michigan State football. George, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Earl. Good to be on with you.
Hey, it's good to talk to you always, as we were talking this afternoon. You know, what do you expect from Eastern Michigan? I mean, this is a game, you know, Eastern Michigan's 0-3. They got hammered by Purdue last week. So even if they make the improvements that, like Coach D'Antonio said they should, they're going to be working on this week, we would be able to tell how much better or worse, you know, against a team like Eastern.
Well, you're right, and to a degree, you know, it's not the same caliber of opponent, but I don't think you can disrespect an opponent from the MAC either. And you know, this is a well-coached group, and they just played as hard as they could against Purdue. They're going to do the same thing against the Spartans. So this is better for you than you think, because it's live game action. It's in front of your home crowd at Spartan Stadium. It's a chance for Andrew Maxwell and the wide receivers to continue to polish their game. And, you know, if there's a missing ingredient so far with the Spartans, it's probably the passing game. And so it's a great opportunity for the coaches to experiment a little and find out, you know, who the guys are who are going to catch the ball for them consistently and who are the guys that can make big plays.
Yes, and George, you know, one thing we haven't seen so far, especially on the defensive side, you know, they're just not getting much of a pass rush, you know, and I know they won't say it, but I'm pretty sure they miss Jarrell Worthy a lot more than what maybe they thought they would at the beginning of the year, but it looks like they're not getting any push upside outside in the middle. You know, the ends are pretty good, but they're not getting much of a push. So how do you see this defense? Can they get some push up the middle?
Well, they kind of feel like they're putting some pressure on. They're just not getting to the quarterback because, you know, teams know that they can't go deep in the pocket and stand there very long against the Spartans because they're afraid that would definitely result in the sack. So part of the lack of push is the fact that teams are unloading the ball quicker because they don't want to put themselves in harm's way. But I will agree with you. They probably need to work on putting a little more pressure on the other team's quarterbacks, because as the season wears on, that'll be important.
Oh, yes, for sure. And, George, what about the defensive backs? I mean, I think Mark D'Antonio mentioned at the press conference today that Johnny Adams and Denard are doing pretty good. Basically, you know, I guess I could say they probably give them a C to a C-plus grade. But I have noticed they have missed, covering some guys. I know they don't miss a lot of them, but they miss covering some guys. Do you think that can be much of a concern, or should that be much of a concern that Denard and, of course, and Johnny Adams missed some of their coverages?
Well, Darquez Denard and Johnny Adams are probably the best pair of corners in the Big Ten and one of the best sets of corners in the country. And what you always have to understand, Earl, and I know you really know this, is the fact that you could be the best cover corner in the conference, and sooner or later, someone's going to beat you with a great throw, a great scramble throw, and a circus catch. For instance, the John Goodman catch from Everett Golson last Saturday night, I know maybe Johnny could have played that slightly better, but he was right there. And you know, Goodman makes a one-handed grab after Golson scrambles away from Marcus Rush. And, you know, that's an ad-lib play. And you don't like to get beat by ad-lib plays, but it can happen. Once everybody, what their plan is, once all that breaks down and a guy's scrambling on his own, it's kind of schoolyard ball then. And if a guy makes a great throw and a great catch, there's not a lot you can do about it.
Yes, that's one thing we know, George, from watching so many games over the years. You know, the game didn't used to be as sophisticated as it is now. I mean, you know, you can work out scenarios on every single situation, but the games are a little bit different. They're played differently than what they used to play. So how do you see the involvement of college football?
Well, I think Mark D'Antonio touched upon it today when he talked about explosive plays. And what we mean by explosive plays are runs of 15 yards or longer and pass plays of 20 yards or longer. And I don't know that we had as many of those in the past as we have now, because offenses have opened up a little bit. And when that happens, there are more running lanes. And when that happens, there are more deep balls thrown and more just passes thrown, period. So, in my opinion, that's what's changed. And you probably need, you know, two or three explosive plays a game at least to win against a quality opponent. And so that's what I think the Spartans are looking for, to be frank with you. And they probably need some more help from their receivers to make those plays.
Oh, that's for sure. They have to get better better play from the receivers. It's incredible how many passes they've dropped in these first few games. I don't know if we'll see many changes, of course, in the two deeps coming up on Friday or Saturday, but it'll be interesting to see if he still uses the receivers in the same way, or does he sort of ruffle it, change it up a little bit?
Well, you know, there's some very talented guys that are among the backups. And you see their names in the two deeps. And by two deeps, we mean who are the first two guys scheduled to play, the starter and the backup at one wideout position. In fact, sometimes you have enough wide receivers that you might put three players at one spot. And the Spartans have Jeremy Langford and also Aaron Burbridge behind Tony Lippin at one spot, for instance. But, you know, other guys who I think are going to get a chance to be looked at probably on Saturday would include DeAnthony Arnett and McGarrett Kings again, A.J. Sims again. And some of it will depend upon what happens in practice this week, but I think some of it will depend upon what Coach G thinks they need to look at in games. Sometimes practices and games are different.
Yes, I mean, and they're so young. I mean, looking at the depth chart now, we only have a junior. It's the most experienced guy we have here, which is Benny Fowler. And, you know, this is his first time getting extended playing time in his 3 years here,
sure,
as Coach said.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that probably the key word here is patience.
Yeah,
because these guys have all proven that they're big time receivers. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on scholarship at this program, at this stage of this program. The Michigan State program now, frankly, is one of the best in the country, top to bottom. So they're not bringing in guys who are maybe he can do it. We hope he can do it. These guys have all proven that they can do it, and the bottom line is they've just got to relax and do it on the field in games. And I think Coach G's confident that they will, and if he's confident, I guess I am too.
Okay. Hey, well, let's change our attention to basketball a little bit, talk a little bit about the Pistons. Have you had a chance to look
sure
at them much? I know the practice will be starting pretty soon, won't it?
Oh, yeah. I think they open up on the 1st of October, and play the first game, I think, on October 10th. And it's an interesting team, Earl, because most people forget, and that's all right. The only people that don't like the fact that they forget the fact that the Pistons were 500 the last two-thirds of last season are probably the salespeople selling tickets, because they got to remind all of the fans that, yeah, there was a disastrous start, which led to a poor record. But once these guys got used to what Lawrence Frank wanted, they played very competitive basketball. So I think what you're looking at is a 500 team that's made improvements. So the question is, how many improvements have the other guys made? And can you remain there or maybe get some games above 500? Because if you can, then you're certain to fight for a playoff position and maybe even get there. But in terms of specifics, I think breaking up the logjam at guard by dealing away Ben Gordon was a good thing. Ben Gordon will get a lot more minutes and a lot more shots for Michael Jordan down in Charlotte, where they desperately need scoring, and he can give you that. And then you bring in Corey Maggette, who can play two positions. shooting guard and small forward. He even plays a little bit of power forward at times because he can be so physical. He's a veteran, may have lost just a little bit, but probably not much. He really fights to get himself to the free throw line. And guys who put their nose in there and do that, you know, are worth their weight in gold. You add Kyle Singler, another small forward from Duke who played 4 years for Duke and a year in Spain last year, didn't want to not get paid last year and didn't want to not play much because of the lockout start to the season. So he comes in. You've got Kim English from Missouri who shot over 40% from behind the NBA three-point line during Summer League. And, of course, Andre Drummond, who's a he's a wonderful young man and a guy who I think has a chance to be a heck of a player. And, you know, big guys are hard to find. You can look at this one and that one and the next one and decide whether how much skill they have or how much they can help you. But there's not a big guy anywhere that the pros haven't looked at. If you're 6'11 or 7 feet tall, people want to know what you can do. And I think this guy is going to block shots and play above the rim even in his rookie year this year, and he'll be even better down the road.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I think he's going to be a very good player. We know he's got to work on his free throw shooting, but other than that, what we've seen, you know, his skill set is, like you say, it's very, very good. You know,
I didn't mention Brandon Knight and Greg Monroe and Rodney Stuckey. And those are three guys that you have to game plan against to a degree. So this is slowly but surely becoming a quality team again.
Yeah. Hey, George, how much do you think the lockout hurt? It probably impacted the Pistons more than anybody else because they had a new coach and he had to come in, you know, and get them going right away. That had to be awfully tough on Lawrence Frank and on the players too, wasn't it?
That's a very good point, Earl, because when you're looking at a new system and you can't practice under the coaches and learn that new system and you have a few days of training camp and one preseason game or maybe two, and then you start rolling for real, that's another reason that the Pistons started slowly last year. They weren't exactly sure what was necessary for them to do in this new system. Once they felt comfortable, I thought, as I said, I thought they played pretty darn well.
Okay. Hey, I got an email in for you, George. Don says from the Coach's Show, he says, hi and thanks for being such a great Spartan.
Oh, well, tell him thank you very much.
Okay. Hey, we got a caller for you. Let's go out to Atlanta and Mr. Tate. Mr. Tate, how you doing?
Hey, man, thank you. I'm blessed. How you guys doing today?
Yeah, doing
great,
good.
Great, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Hey, good. You know, first of all, thank you for taking my call, as always, Mr. Robinson. But I hear you guys talking about my Detroit Pistons, so I want to add a couple things. I think one of the issues here is just still trying to figure out, you know, between the last couple, two, three coaches within the last however many seasons, two handfuls of seasons, we've had probably about a good three coaches or whatnot, two, three coaches. So just trying to get to a game plan and sticking to it, I think, is one of the biggest things. I hate to still, you know, kind of be reliving off of a little bit of the past. I don't think that we make great, you know, drafting decisions and whatnot. I think the main thing is the style of play with Coach Frank and whatnot. You know, I think that we need to go back a little bit more into that, not necessarily bad boys mentality, but more or less get that defensive scheme down first. I'm a firm believer, as the same way, as you can tell, Tom Izzo, the way he works. His defense and his rebounding, and then the rest will follow suit, and that's how you'll win. And if the win feels that much better than just running up and down the court, you know, a fast break or whatnot, you know, transition offense, because especially when you get closer to being in the postseason, every possession is so critical, you're going to need to slow it down into a half-court O anyway. So I think they kind of need to go to a little bit more of a defensive scheme and start working on that first, let the rest follow suit, because I think that they're a little dumbfounded right now. I don't think that this Pistons team is really quite, at least I don't exactly see, you know, the direction that they're moving into just yet. I mean, I see some good things in, you know, Kim English, who's a role player at best, obviously. But then I see inconsistency out of Rodney Stuckey. And then I see some really good things out of Brandon Knight. And then, you know, of course, backing him up is Will Bynum, a better than average defender to me, and a very good offensive player, still role players. But your guys like Austin Days, and then don't know exactly what Kyle Singler is going to give you. And then, you know, who knows how long Corey McGetty is going to be here. Tayshaun Prince, is he still buying into what's going on with Joe Dumars is bringing to the table? And then you got Andre Drummond, who can be something similar to a second coming, if not better than a DeAndre Jordan, you know, out there in LA.
You have a question now? Do you have a question somewhere in there?
Yeah, well, where do you realistically see this team? Do you see them even coming close to a postseason, or where do you see their record considering 82 games in a full season?
Okay, thank you.
Well, I agree with you that defense is key, and Lawrence Frank agrees with you too, and he preached that. And the Pistons' defense was remarkably better last year. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but field goal percentage defense was far better, and so were points allowed. And so the defense has turned the corner and it needs to get better. And Lawrence Frank would be the first one to tell you that. But I do think this is a coach that the players believe in, and a guy who delivers a message that doesn't seem to wear out. When he was in New Jersey, toward the end of his time in New Jersey, when they had some injuries and losses, guys like Kenyon Martin, guys like Jason Kidd, stepped up and said, hey, it's not Coach Frank's fault. You should not make a move here. You should keep this guy. So players like him. That's number one. Number two, he is a defensive-oriented coach. Number three, I don't know what's going to happen with Austin Day, but everybody else that you mentioned is a bona fide player. And, you know, does Rodney Stuckey need to be a little more consistent? Probably. He knows that, but when he's on, he's really on. And I think Brandon Knight will get nothing but better at point guard. And if you have a solid point guard, you can do an awful lot of good things, as we've seen in the past. So what do I realistically think? As I said earlier, for the last two-thirds of the last season, the team was playing 500 ball, and I expect that they'll at least play 500 ball this season. I think it's going to be fun. But obviously, you know your hoops, and I'm glad you called.
Yes, and George, that's one thing. The Pistons did improve a lot on the defensive end near the end of the year. The last 40 games, as you say, the second half of the season, Pistons were pretty tough. Hopefully they can pick up from there and be even stronger this year.
Exactly. There's no question. That's where games are won. And I love the fact that our caller referenced Tom Izzo, because here's a guy who could be in the NBA in any number of spots if he wanted to be right now. But he's committed to Michigan State. He's committed to his program, which is one of the great programs in college basketball. So everybody that's going to school at State right now, and all the alums and all the season ticket holders, just thank your lucky stars you're going to watch a Tom Izzo coach team every time you show up at the Breslin Center, because he's special there. They don't make many like him. In fact, all the college coaches got together and they were polled about who's the best coach. And if I'm not mistaken, Tom Izzo was numero uno. In fact, I know he was.
No.
He was gracious enough to say, well, I think they might have been voting in a bar, but he knows better. He knows the respect everybody has for him, and he deserves that respect.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, George. I appreciate you coming on with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Hope so, Earl. Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. This is Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR, East Lansing. We'll see you tomorrow right here on WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870, WKAR.